Mercy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, different cultures, or the Bible. Today, my visitors are Brother Kieran Finn and Bob Wilson. Brother Kieran and Bob, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Thank you very much, Beate.
Brother Kieran Finn has been to our Muffin Talk a few times. He's a Champagne brother and Bible scholar. He's originally from Gisborne and has spent 40 years in adult education, teaching scripture in New Zealand and abroad. Today, Brother Kieran has brought a friend of his along, Bob Wilson. Bob was born in Waiuku, south of Auckland. He was ordained priest in 1966, and after 5 years in Palmerston North, he went as a missionary to Samoa until the end of 1978. He's now living in Mangere in Auckland. Brother Kieran and Bob, both of you have been working as educators for many years. What has been your journey in the Catholic Church? Brother Kieran, would you like to start? Right.
Well, how do you cover 57 years? Well, 16 years were in secondary schools in beginning in Invercargill, but 4 years at Heart of Petra. It was a wonderful cultural experience. It was Heart of Petra at its height.
Heart of Petra on the North Shore.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And then after that, 9 years in St. John's and Hamilton, and then a couple of years at St. Bernard's, followed by a couple of years on retreat team, travelling all around the country, working with young people in the retreat scene. And after that, 10 years at Marcelin Hall, an adult pastoral centre here in Auckland. And that was followed by a number of years teaching for the Catholic Institute of Theology and in its wonderful days of the Auckland Consortium for Theological Education. We were working with Carey Baptist, we were working with St. John's Trinity, and it was a marvellous ecumenical experience. And after that, I was called on to go to the Philippines to work with young religious from all Asia and Pacific areas, eight orders of young sisters and our own brothers. And that was an incredible experience. And on my return, I went to Lower Hutt and was working in the Wellington Archdiocese in adult education. And from then, once I got ill at the end, I was brought up to Auckland, where Auckland has worked its magic in healing me.
Wonderful, and you've been to many Muffin Talks, which is great. Thank you very much.
That's good. Right.
And Bob, can you tell us more about yourself?
Yes, I can, Beate. After my 5 years at St. Kevin's College in Oamaru, I went to the seminary. I was 3 years at Holy Name in Christchurch doing philosophy, and then 4 years in Mosgiel doing theology, and ordained in 1966. My first parish was St. Patrick's, Palmerston North. After 5 years there, I answered Pope Paul's the Sixth call for volunteers to the Pacific, and I went to Samoa, starting off in Pango Pango in 1972, where I was there for 6 months before being transferred to the far western tip of the island of Savai'i, where I stayed for 5 years working in three parishes. I came back at the end of 1978 and spent 1979 doing my psychotherapy training. And then I went to Holy Family Parish in Porirua for 4 years, and then did a bit of switch hitting, married my wife Ayono Elisipeta Sialau in 1984, and then I got into Civvy Street and spent a year working in the Salvation Army program for drug addicts. Then I went into ACC for 10 years. After that, I spent the next 20 years or so being a casual reliever and being on the staff of Nainai College, St. Patrick's Silverstream, Wainuiomata Mata High, and St. Bernard's. At the moment, my wife and I and family are in Mangere, and for the last 15 years I've been very much associated with the Samoan communities in Wellington, working with the chaplain, Father Maliko, doing a lot of seminars and retreats and that for the Samoan people. Talking about Samoan things, I do happen to have a High Chief Orator title, Tangaloa, which is from the district of Lealetele in Samoa.
Oh, what a long story. Oh, you've been both very active. And did you learn Tagalog in the Philippines, Brother Kieran?
Nothing beyond Magadang Agabi or Magadang Umanga, Kamusta Ka, and Mabuti Po, and Salamat Po, the most important one. Thank you.
But it seems like Bob has learned a lot of Samoan.
Oh, yes.
Well, I live in a Samoan family, a Beati, so I talk Samoan every day. My wife, of course, is an ex-teacher of the Samoan language, and one of my daughters, Dr. Salaina Oloa, is currently teaching the Samoan language in AUT in Auckland.
Yeah.
Well, what I love about it is that the family, they only talked Samoan to the youngsters for about the first 5 years, and now the older daughter topped her school in English. I love that.
Well, sometimes you have to learn another language in order to learn the first language better.
Well, as you would know yourself.
Yes, truly.
That's what you learn. It's also, I'm a linguist, so every time I learned a language, I learned something more about my own language.
That's true.
Oh, well, for those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/Muffin Talk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitors today are Brother Kieran Finn and Bob Wilson. And we've just heard about their extensive experience in the Catholic Church. Brother Kieran, what are your hopes for the Church? Now we've seen what your journey. Tell us more about your hopes now.
Well, I've got this vision that comes out of the Scriptures. And I think the great tragedy of the Reformation was trying to feed people just from the table of the Eucharist, and or else from the table of the Word. And that has been sort of one of the major influences between Catholicism and Protestantism. And when we can feed our people from both tables, then I think we will have a rich diet. Especially, there's so much debate goes on around the Eucharist. And I see the Eucharist as just more than something that is adored up there. I think we have to become the Eucharist. I mean, this is why the Scriptures are so important, that there's a vision there of what the Christian life really is. Jerome, his great line, that ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ. I think the challenge of Scripture and sacrament is to become the living witnesses, the living embodiment of the vision and values of Christ. And we need people. I mean, I love going back to Paul VI and Evangelii Nuntiandi, that modern people, and this is young people as well, they don't listen to teachers, they listen to witnesses. And if they do listen to teachers, it's because they're witnesses to what they teach. And that's why we have to become the living embodiments of the values of Christ. We do not just keep the prisoner in the tabernacle, we become the living Christ for people. And I want to see a church that has got more people like that, more prophetic people that make sense to young people. And that's why that's such a critical area of the church. And not only young people, and especially to young women. I really worry about what's going on with regard to the future that is one in which men and women, young men, young women, can look and see in each other their complement, their equal, their partner, and not. See, I really worry about so many things, so many of the crazy values in our world. And until we have this equality that is called for in the opening creation story of Genesis, we're going to have an inequality that is a scandal in the church and in society.
And the fact that you mentioned now the Reformation and the focus on the Eucharist and the focus on the Word,
yes,
it fits very well to this season, because in Germany the 31st of October is celebrated as the day of the Reformation for the Lutherans, and the Catholics celebrate the 1st of November as All Saints Day. Right. So we'll have, now we're on the transition between the two big celebrations right. of both denominations.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's interesting. How timely.
But what are your hopes for the church?
I suppose it wouldn't come as any great surprise if I said that I was a supporter of the mood to have married clergy. I have a good friend, a bishop. He has died since, but one time when I was driving him over to our family for a meal, he said, you know, Bob, you and Petra are a wonderful couple. He said, if I had my way, he said, all these decisions would be made at a regional level. And he said, and I'd have you and Petra in ministry, and Bob, I'd have you celebrating the Eucharist. He said, nothing more makes any sense to me. And nothing less, rather. And my hope for the church would be that the decisions be able to be made at a regional level rather than, as it were, everything having to be decided in Rome. One of my concerns, having been a youth chaplain and working for youth for so many years, is my concern is for the young people, and particularly the liturgy. It seems to me that a lot of those in charge just don't realise how much you can do within the spirit of the liturgy. And as a musician too, I would hope that the liturgies for young people can be of the type that they are able to resonate with. Sometimes we hear the question today, oh, where are all the young people? Why aren't they at Mass? It's not surprising to me that they're not, because some of the liturgies that we have to sit through on Sundays, I can understand that they just wouldn't grab young people at all.
Mm. And does that fit to what Brother Kieran said about the liturgy and the church being equal for men and women?
Well, that's another thing, Beate. I'm very much a supporter of what Pope Francis has mentioned, the ordination of women to the diaconate, because if that was the case, then we'd only be going back to what it should be and what it was in the early church. I mean, the whole question of a diaconia, you know, who performed this in the early church? The women.
Mm. Brother Kieran, you always mention Phoebe. Who was Phoebe?
Phoebe was the deacon of Kenkrae, mentioned at the end of the letter of Romans. The first person in the whole of the New Testament to be called a deacon is a woman.
What does deacon really mean?
Diaconia means service. And right through the Gospels, you find examples of women giving service. I find it fascinating that in the Gospel of Mark, Peter's mother-in-law, when she is raised by Jesus from her sickbed, she serves them. But in Matthew's Gospel, she serves him. Because remember the wonderful story of the sheep and the goats? Whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. So she actually exercised diaconia towards Jesus in this covenant bond of Jesus and us, Jesus and individual and me.
And many denominations call their celebrants ministers.
Yes.
And we have also ministers of the Word and ministers of the Eucharist. So when you say diaconia comes from service,
yes,
service and ministry is very close.
Exactly. Yes, it is. It is. And, of course, what ministry do young women see being carried out in the church? I know, I look at this country, and I look at the women Bible scholars that I've been privileged to know and work with, and I keep saying, where are there our own male priests with significant qualifications in Scripture? I know some of them go off overseas and do studies in canon law and whatever. For God's sake, we need priests with significant qualifications in Scripture. I would love to see one day our priests with the time to be taking adult education classes and sharing what they've learnt in their formation, but also what they've learnt along the way. You can't just come out of the seminary and expect to be giving homilies all your life without a lot of blood, sweat and tears and involvement in developing your knowledge and your love of the word.
But maybe this is the point where the diaconia can help and minister and serve and work together.
Yes, exactly. Because, I mean, everybody who, we as teachers know, professional formation is vital in your own field if you're going to remain a competent and respected teacher. And the same is true of those who are exercising the ministry of the Eucharist, the ministry of the Word.
And Bob, you have all this experience in Samoa, and we have many Samoans in our Catholic Church here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. What is your experience from that time in Samoa?
Well, it's great being a missionary because you seem to have a lot more freedom when you're in the missionary situation. But the Bishop of the Diocese at the time was Cardinal Pio Taufinu'u. And he spent a lot of time helping us to inculcate the Samoa or the Samoan culture into the Eucharistic celebrations, and that was really my first experience of how culture can be incorporated into liturgy. So in a sense, the Pacific Islanders were well ahead in that matter.
Is it also, when I think of the Maori Catholics here with the katekita, who have different roles to, like a deacon? It's different to a deacon, isn't it?
I think it's a fair point, yes. But again, it's the issue of the local church. And I mean, this is one of the great things that Francis is bringing in, the right of the local church. Always we've got this, we are within the wider context of the universal church. But I think, I know Bishop Peter Cullinane has always been very strong on the local church. But we've got these synods. Now, the Amazon Synod is an example which I think is critical. Look, the church has to meet the needs of the local community, and it's going to require different forms. And this is my hope, is that more and more these local synods will take responsibility for their people, for their culture, and that way we could see a real revitalization of the church.
But if we go back in the history and the first missionaries coming to Europe, they also had to adapt to the local church.
Or go back further. Go back to the individual communities of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Paul. The variety was there in the beginning. But we've got to get back to that.
For example, one of the big problems is, for example, when we go to Mass in our own churches, come the gospel time, we all stand and that sort of thing. Well, I mean, that's totally against the Pacific Island culture, because it would be more correct for the people to actually sit for the reading of the gospel, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that we had an event at our parish, and it was to respect the Treaty of Waitangi, and each one of us introduced ourselves and where we came from, and we all stood up because that's how the Maori started.
Yes.
And then it came to the Samoan priest, and he said it's more respectful for me to sit, so he said to stay seated.
Yes, you don't put your wisdom above the wisdom of the book.
That's great.
Yes, right. We've got a lot of wisdom to learn.
So is there anything that you can recommend to people, to educators, when you are teaching the scriptures? Because where do you learn more about the scriptures except for Mass time? If you are, maybe you're not in a Catholic school, and or you're out of the school, and where do you learn more about it? We can offer, of course, our presentations at our Mercy Spirituality Center, but where else?
Well, when I was asked to teach religious education to year 12 and 13 in St. Pat's Silverstream, I was asked if I would teach the Book of Revelation, about which I knew virtually nothing. And that was when I first met my very good friend here, Brother Kieran. I found myself at his door asking for help. And I went away armed with books and PowerPoints and everything, and was able then to do something worthwhile with my students at St. Pat's Silverstream. And I'm sure that at the end of it, they had a fairly good idea of the Book of Revelation, and I'm sure they had much more idea than most of the people and clergy and religious in the country.
I think sometimes you do need somebody who doesn't understand it, who has to understand it himself first. It very well.
Oh, and that one is one book that if Catholic Church, the Church doesn't teach it, it goes to the fringe and the fundamentalist, literalist. It's quite frightening.
It is frightening.
And if that book is not taught responsibly, it ends up as, what is it? It's that lovely line of William Barclay, the book either finds you mad or leaves you so.
Right.
Yes. No, I think we badly need parishes to have Bible study groups. They can prepare the liturgy of the Sunday, get to know the readings. You've got to be very careful. There is some good stuff online, but you've got to watch very carefully what it is. Bob and I have been using Now You Know Media material, and the DVDs for each of the Gospels, it's excellent material. And it's for people who are keen to get a parish group going, you can't beat it. Just put the name Now You Know Media on the internet, and you'll see the greatest resources. They are good scholars, and they are responsible scholars.
But also, you could get a parish group and come to the Mercy Spirituality Center when we have good Bible scholars coming and presenting something really interesting. We had Brother Kieran here, and we have Father Kevin Wilde coming to the center every now and then. So I would like to see parishes getting involved and sending maybe 4 or 5 people and come together to one of these events. Because I think you can't beat having the personal contact and being able to ask questions, because there, Father Kevin and Brother Kieran also, you're happy to answer any questions that are coming. And sometimes people ask questions that they feel that might be stupid, but there's no judgment. You can come and be present.
Well, Jesus did say, what is this among so many? Because there's only 2 of us for Auckland. I mean, where are the Bible scholars in this country? Where are those who can go into the seminary and train our young people?
You have to get the Bible bug first. So that means you have to go and listen to somebody.
Yes, that's it. So Be infected.
Well, I've been so lucky for the last 8 years or so. I've been with Kieran every week, sitting down, watching DVDs and listening to CDs, as Kieran says, from all these top presenters from the Now You Know media site.
Oh, and don't forget my PowerPoints.
Your PowerPoints, are they absolutely awesome. they were really my saviour in those early days, as I mentioned, Kieran.
But also, Kieran can answer questions if you have questions.
Well, he's the master. He's the master at answering questions, I tell you.
Because I think that's a difference, because you can hear media and there might be words that you don't understand, or the talk might be too difficult, not your level. And so it's good to have good Bible scholars and come to the Spirituality Center. There are always things coming up.
Good.
So before we close this interview, because I'm sure that we could continue for hours,
exactly.
We'll have to do it another time. Looking at the future, what would you most like to see? So it follows up in a way to what you said earlier, but what is something concrete what you'd like to see?
I think focus on the Holy Spirit, the forgotten member of the Trinity, because the Spirit is what animates people, our people.
And inspires.
Inspires, animates. You've got to be inspired, but you've got to be animated and inspired. The same word, really. I think probably it means the same thing.
I just think it's the Spirit and inspiring comes from the same root.
Yes. Listen and be driven by the Spirit.
Yeah.
I heard a very good phrase just the other day, and this person said that the knowledge of the Scriptures ought to be part of our DNA.
Yes, good.
So I personally would like to see Scripture being in its rightful place, and that particularly those involved in leading Eucharistic celebrations and things, they need to be absolutely imbued with the Scripture, and in order to be able to impart it to the people, because really our job is to live the gospel. And I don't intend to be critical here or judgmental, but the reality is that people are just not living the Scriptures because they don't know them.
So you mean that Scripture could be like part of your culture that you know, and you don't have to explain it all the time, but then when you read the Scriptures, then you understand it in a different way?
Well, I certainly understand it in a much different way now, having spent all the time with Brother here, you know.
Yeah.
It's been a great blessing, and it's part of my life now. I'm still on the journey, Beate.
Maybe one question that I was asked yesterday by somebody, and asked, why do we have four Gospels? Were there only four people who were writing? Maybe. Do you have 2 minutes? Can you answer that?
Yes, there were a lot more than four in the beginning. There were so many Gospels. Gospel of Peter, Gospel of Thomas, whatever, keep going.
That's right.
And the four that were most beneficial, most helpful for the community, they were the most life-giving ones. And also, they didn't have weird and wonderful things like Jesus, sort of little fellow who splashed him, being struck dead, you see. I don't quite think that fits like the real Jesus of the Gospels. So that one kind of got put on the shelf.
So who was the one who put them on the shelf?
I think the living experience of the community first, and then some center within the church realizing that these are the most life-giving ones for the community. It's not just an official group, it's the lived experience of the people.
Thank you very much. And thank you to both of you for having come and for sharing some of your experience. And I hope this will be an inspiration for many.
Good.
And so coming to our Mercy Spirituality Center, what is coming up? We have a Bible school. We have a Sister Alice Sinnott coming.
Oh, yes. So
she is going to come on the 6th of November, Wednesday, from 10:30 to 12:30. And she will give a presentation on God's steadfast love endures forever. The second talk, so that's the first talk, and the second talk will be on the 13th of November, also Wednesday, Out of the Depths I Cry to You, O God. Both stand alone, but you can come to both of them. And then we'll have Father Kevin Waldie, who gave a muffin talk the other day. He will come on the 21st of November, Thursday. The title is Gratitude in the Bible, Gracious God of Israel and Jesus, Son of God. It's from 7 to 9 p.m., an evening session. And in the session, we will explore the biblical idea of gratitude and how it applies to our everyday life. So I think he would be also a person where you could go and you'd learn a lot from him. So on Friday, the 22nd of November, we'll have Margaret Bowater who comes, and she's a specialist on dream work. So she'll give a facilitated dream work 202 workshop from 9:30 to 12:30. That's the 22nd of November. For all events at our center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. I wish you all a blessed Friday, good week ahead, and thank you too for coming.
Danke schön, Beate.
Good, thank you.